We are continuing with Pirkei Avos. We're up to Mishnah Dalet in Perek Aleph, and we're at a new point in Jewish history. What is a new point in Jewish history? It's that up until now, you had one leader of Klal Yisrael per generation. Now it's moved to what we call the Zugos. You have a pair of individuals that team up together, and they are now the leaders of Klal Yisrael. One is the Nasi, the leader of the Sanhedrin, and more the political leader of Klal Yisrael, not only internally, but externally with the rest of the governments. And then the second leader is the Av Beis Din. The Av Beis Din is more of the halachist, more of the posek hador of the generation. And the first two that we meet are Yossi.
Before this, what was in place?
One leader, one person did it all.
He did. Oh, okay.
Meaning we had Antigonus before him. That was Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Beis before that was Shimon HaTzadik. The assumption was they did it all. They did everything.
And what was the reason that led to this? Any particular? If they didn't think it was effective enough, but it was just too much for one person.
Not one person has total mastery over everything. So this is like more of a breakdown. Like we mentioned in the first Mishnah, there was a loss of Torah knowledge from generation to generation. That didn't happen immediately, but it happened later on. That happened with the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So now it plays out even more. When the Zugos first came on the scene, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us, Rabu Machlokos B'Yisrael. There was already losses in Mesorah, in the tradition, that added to Machlokos, to arguments within Halacha. And so this really exemplifies or embodies this what's going on historically with the Jewish people. It doesn't take away from these individuals as great people. But again, you see in our generation, leadership. That's a big word. And who's filling that spot? Who is the leader of our generation? Just 30 years ago, you could point to, or 40 years ago, you could point to that guy, that rabbi, that person. Who? Who is it? Right? Who is it today? That's a very real question.
And who is it?
I don't know. I don't know.
You're referring to
Nasi
and the
Av Beis Din leader. So, and that is Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda. He was from a place called Tzreda, which is part of Shevet Dan, that region. And Yossi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim. So they're Kiblu Mehem. They got it from Antigonus. And now we're going to learn what they always used to say. Okay? But again, this reflects what is going on in the world. Just important to know, the first one of the two is the Nasi. The second one is the Av Beis Din. So Yossi ben Yoezer is the Nasi, and Yossi ben Yochanan is the Av Beis Din. So what did they say? Source one. Ready?
Yeah.
What did they say? Yossi ben Yoezer. That's what we're going to focus on today, is Yossi ben Yoezer. What do you say? Number one, he beisecha beis vad l'chachamim. Your house should be a meeting place for chachamim, for rabbis. People should meet in your home. That's number one. Number two, veheve misabek ba'afar reglehem. You shall get dirty in the dust of their feet. Okay?
That's the way they used to sit. They used to sit on the floor.
Oh, very good. We'll discuss Rabbi Yonah very soon, Rabbi Lap. And number three, Vavishos Vitzamas Divrehem, and drink with thirst their words of Torah. Okay? So now, let's take each one by itself. What does it mean to have a home that is a base Vad L'Chachamim? So look at the Meiri. The Meiri beautifully says like this. It should be a beis mo'ed, shiskabsu sham chachamim, klomar, shi beisecha mezuman lahem. Your home should be open for Torah events.
Make it the kol.
L'kvutzehem olios lahem achzan yakol l'fi mashu ha'adam. If we say, hey, we need somebody to host a great rav, you should run to the opportunity to host. Shiurim. We're going to host shiurim in people's homes. this should be what you should do. Beisvad chachamim, Torah should be discussed in your home. V'yala biyadcha mosef aschar kivodam, shetalmud mehem, shalom mehem mehan hagosehem, divrei Torah umidos. If you go and you have them, and you go to the shul and you hear a shir, that's very, very important. You'll learn a lot of Torah. The Meiri says if they come to your home, not only do you learn Torah, but you learn from their midos. Okay? Having them in your home, you learn even more. So, just to add to this, right, the Ruach Chaim, Chaim V'Lajner says, there's another way to fulfill this mitzvah nowadays. And that is by amassing lots of svarim. Having svarim in your home is another way to fulfill the mitzvah of Beisicha Basuach. It should be a house for Chachamim. The Rush points out, we have a mitzvah, everyone has a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, no? So the Rush says the mitzvah is not to write a Sefer Torah. The mitzvah is to have svarim in your home. The only way back in the day to have svarim in your home was through a Sefer Torah. Today, that's not true. So he says the mitzvah d'oraisa is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Every single time you buy another sefer and put it in your house, you're fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. So not only are you fulfilling the mitzvah from the Torah of Siva Sefer Torah, but you're also fulfilling this concept of your house should be a house that is open for Chachamim. Also Hachnas Zorchim, right?
Yes.
Also 100%.
You have to own this farm and put it in Baruch.
Can you have them on the ebook? I think you got to own some svarim. I think you got to, you know, borrow for sure. You can go to the library, get some svarim, have them in your home.
You have to use them.
But you got to use them. You got to use them too. The Chafetz Chaim used to say the most beautiful thing that he would see every single day was use svarim. You know, I used to joke with my friends when I was first in YU. We get the new Gemara. There's nothing better. The great smell. You hear the crack of the spine of the sefer and the Gemara. Go then. I'm like, then we just spilled a cup of coffee right now, and we'll call it a day. We'll go to sleep, right? Chas v'shalom. But you got to use it. You got to use this farm. Both. Got to do. I think both. Both. Both are good. I'll tell you amazing vort. The chidus says something fascinating. What's the first letter in the entire Torah?
Beis.
What's the last letter in the Torah? These are softballs. Yisrael, Lamed. No, Yisrael is the last word. Last letter is Lamed. Beis Lamed. What's the middle? No. What's the middle letter in the Torah? You know? It's Gemara. It's a Vav. Gachon is that word. It's in Parsha Shemini. It's a Vav. Vav represents Yashrus. Right? That's really what the Torah stands on, is Emes, is Yashrus, our integrity. But now listen to this. Beis Vav Lamed. Bul is a stamp. I don't know what that means. But Beis Vav, that's modern Hebrew. Beis Vav Lamed, the Chidah says, stands for Beis Vad L'Chachamim. Okay. If you want to keep the entire Torah, right? If you want to keep the entire Torah, open your home to Torah. Open your home to learning Torah in your home, hosting Torah in your home, hosting scholars in your home. Amazing. Now, the Bar Tinura says,
what are the three words?
Beis Vad L'Chachamim. Beis Vav Lamed. First, middle, end. The Bar Tinura says over here, what's the pshat? He says it's like a mashal. What's the mashal? L'nichnas l'chanusa shabosem. It's like when you walk into a perfume store. I am not sure if they have stores that are just exclusively for perfume anymore. But if you walk into a perfume store, even if you don't buy anything, you come out, hey, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? Right?
You have to make a bracha.
Mikom makom reach tov kalat v'hotzi imo. The Reach Tov goes out with you and it stays on you. So now listen to this, right? So even if you don't even learn the Torah, right? The Bar Tinur is saying, similar to what Milti was asking, even if you don't learn it, right? It's got to, it affects you. Mm-hmm. It affects you. So look at Rav Pam in the next page. This is vintage Rav Pam. I was never zocha to meet him, But Rav Pam was like, he said sometimes some things that were so obvious, almost simplistic, but so sharp at the same point. He said like this, Torvadas, the parable of the perfume shop, right? He writes like this, carries a double-edged message. When a person is in the company of the righteous, of the idealistic people, he will be influenced to emulate them and strive for personal growth. Unfortunately, the converse is also true. The company of degenerate, wicked people can greatly impede one's spiritual development and will permeate his soul with an entirely different aroma. And he says this comes up in two examples. Number one, the concept is relevant to a number of important decisions a person must make. When one chooses a place to live and to raise his children, for example, he must seriously consider this factor. If he lives in a community of Torah-true Jews, his children will grow up striving for Aliyah b'Torah and Avodas Hashem. If his neighbors are focused on the pursuit of Gashmios, materialism, that will undoubtedly leave an impact of a different kind on their young, impressionable neshamos. And secondly, this is a very sharp point. He says, where you choose, not where you live, but where you choose to daven in shul. Not which shul you daven in, but where you choose your seat in shul. Do you choose your seat in shul around daveners or around schmoozers, he says, right? And that's something to think about, right? That's something to think about. Why are you going to shul? What is that for? And again, the mashal of perfume shop, you want to be there. Maybe you're not there yet at that level, but you want to be there because you want to, you want that aroma to rub off on you as well. That is point number one. Point number two that Yossi ben Yoezer says is having misabek ba'afar regleihem. Rabbeinu Yonah says this was a very practical point. How was it? The Rebbe used to sit on a chair, and to show kavod and mora, you have to have yira for your Rebbe. The Talmidim used to sit on the floor, on the ground. Maybe Torah Tuesday next week we'll do this. We'll try this. So people have to get up afterwards. So the Rebbe would sit down, and everyone would sit on the floor. I think they say by David HaMelech that sometimes he would sit higher and they would sit on regular chairs. But this, again, reflected that notion, but he says that's very practically the point, because they would sit. They didn't have carpeting. We're getting the carpeting installed now. They didn't have carpeting, right? They didn't have carpeting in the times of the Gemara. What did they have? It was dirt floors. So by literally sitting on the physically sitting on the floor, you would get caught up in the dirt of the rough.
You just reminded me when I was in Vietnam, the teacher always had a chair, and yep, the students sat on mats.
Really? See, I think it was a pedagogical tool that's probably used all across the world, if I had to assume. Nowadays, what's interesting is that the way that education's moving... No, I wouldn't say that. Moving away from a teacher's desk. The desk creates a distance between you and the students. Okay? The desk now in a modern classroom is moved to the side of the room. The desk is necessary. You know, there's stuff you need to put in there. But it's not the center. The center of the room is the learning, not the teacher. Right? You're learning this together, not learning me. Learning this, the Torah. So it's a very different method. It's a nuance. It's the same Torah. Say a lot of same methods, but this nuance changes things a lot. I could tell you, sometimes I play around with this in my own mind because I'm curious about it. When I teach, sometimes I teach behind the desk, and sometimes I sit in front of the desk. And that pivot, that movement with my students makes a big difference, I think, in their psyche. Where is he? Is he with us, or is he like something totally different? Again, there still needs to be respect. There still needs to be a lot that goes on, which is very important, but that's very, very important.
To our level.
All right.
Unfortunately,
yes.
There's
I suggest what you teach in the middle and have the chairs all around in a circle. You'll be in the center.
I'm game. We can try it out.
Try it out. Let me know
okay.
how it works.
Okay.
Here.
But Others interpret this in the following way.
Rotating?
That it's not enough to learn from Talmidei Chachamim. The second is to be Mishamish Talmidei Chachamim. That to help them out, to serve them. The Gemara says in Brachos, in Source 5, Rav Yochanan says in the name of Shimar Yochai, Gedola Shimusha Shal Torah, Yoser Melimuda. Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. Serving Talmidei Chachamim is greater than even learning Torah. And how do we know this? There's a pasuk we say every single Friday night in davening, Kabbal Shabbos. Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav, u'Shmuel b'Korei Shemo. I can't really sing it. But Moshe v'Aaron are equal to Shmuel. Shmuel is on a higher level. And I can tell you, Kabbalistically, they... Mekubalim assumes, the Zohar assumes, Shmuel is on a higher level than Moshe and Aaron combined. Why? Gadol Shimusho Yoser Milimudo. Moshe and Aaron, the greatest teachers of Klal Yisrael. What did Shmuel do? From a baby, he was serving in the Mishkan, helping Eli HaKohen.
He was a Nazir.
So that brings him to a higher level. Rabbi Lichtenstein, in one of Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein's etzals, landmark essays. This is one of his landmark essays. It's called "The Source of Faith is Faith Itself." You got to read the entire thing. This is like obligatory for the Jew. I'm serious. The source of faith is faith. That within itself is a whole drasha. The source of faith is faith itself. It's classic Rabbi Lichtenstein. So he writes here. Lokam kamosho. You're right. Pasuk of the sixth parasha. Yeah. So. He said that beyond the notion of asking my rebbeim questions with regardless of halacha, etc., I also had rebbeim that I'd learned from them and from the way they acted, the way that they reacted to life, from stories, that this is part of Gadol Shimusha Yosem Yilimudo, is to follow them around, inquire and ask. Right, even reading biographies about great people also enhances, and it's the fulfillment of Gadol Shimusho Yosem Milimudo. And now let's move on to the last point. The last point, Rabbi Shosa Betzama Es Ivrehem. Not just learn Torah from them, but learn Torah with them with thirst. With thirst. Right? So the Pasuk in Amos, this is amazing. The Pasuk in Amos says, Hine yamim ba'im nu mashem. Amos is talking about the end of days. Amos is in Treyasar. His prophecy now is about the future. Hine yamim ba'im nu mashem elokim. Days are coming. I think there's an English song about this, no? I think it's a Dvekas song. The days are coming. Vishlachti ra'av ba'aretz. And I'm going to send a famine in the land. Lo ra'av lalechem v'lo tzama l'mayim. It's not going to be a famine or a hunger for bread or people won't be thirsty for water. What are they going to be thirsty for? Ki'im lishmoa es divrei Hashem. You want to know the end of days? Amos says, is when people are thirsting to hear the word of God. That's when you know the end of days is coming. The end of days. Hine yamim ba'im nu mashem. That's his prophecy. When people want to hear the word of God. Yishmo divrei Hashem. No, like Yemos HaMashiach. In a good way. This is a good thing. The Arizal, right? The great Mekubal from Tzfat. The Arizal had a student whose name was Rav David Vali. Rav David Vali has a parish on all of the Tanakh. And he says something fascinating, which is so true today. It's scary, because this is like, we're talking 400 or 500 years ago, and this is unbelievable. He says like this, Bizman ha-galus vasitam, the times of exile and towards the end of days. Ein shum ra'av v'tzamei mimei meha v'lachma shal Torah. There'll be no end to fulfill your thirst and hunger for Torah. Ki adarabba, lo nischabru sfarim kol kach aruchim v'rabim kol b'izman ha-galus. He says, in the times of exile, there will be a plethora, thousands of sfarim available for people to learn. And I will add to him, because he didn't know about the smartphone. Apps and websites and shiurim available at our fingertips. The very fact that I can get his perush to put on a piece of paper for everybody to learn. I did this morning at 6 in the morning. Right? Like, the fact that I could do that, that's available, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Sherabu had their shonen by him, Asus farm harbe enkates. In the end of days, the days leading up to Mashiach, there will be tremendous amount of Torah available. Elish yesh behem pitumei milin harbe mod. Right? Vemeshu nikra mamish divrei Hashem. The truth is, right? The truth is, he says, people aren't going to be interested in it. We're going to learn it, and tremendous amount of learning is going to be done, but that's not enough. That's what Amos is saying. The thirst and hunger is not going to be over lechem and mayim. There'll be plenty of lechem and mayim.
To be over Torah.
Tochen, no. He means here, there'll be plenty of tochen of Torah available to all of us. But what do people want even more than that? Knowing the halacha of what to do, when not to do, etc. Lishmoa divrei Hashem. To connect to God in a real way. Right? Rav Moshe Weinberger in Klal Perspectives, a journal, 2012, writes like this. Yes, never before have as many Jews had the privilege to learn Torah. Every historian says it. More Jews are learning Torah today than ever before. Neither a famine nor a drought has befallen us. Everywhere you turn, there's another opportunity, Baruch Hashem. Our generation is starving for Divrei Hashem, the clear, deep, penetrating, and powerful words of God. You will see the hunger and thirst for the Divrei Hashem, for the truth, and nothing but the truth. Rav Kook wrote of the chutzpah, the insolence, that Chazal predicted would be rampant before the arrival of Mashiach. The time has come when many are simply refusing to settle for merely bits and pieces of the truth. If this demand is not satisfied, he argues, if our schools and homes ignore or misinterpret this hungry chutzpah's rejection, it will claim countless more victims. Right? And that's what Yossi Ben Yoezer is talking about. Creating an environment that is conducive to learning Torah. The mashal of the perfume shop. To get dirty in the afar of the Torah itself. And to create not just the hunger and thirst. That's what we're here. That's what we're doing. You're taking time off. You could be anywhere right now. But you're choosing to come and to learn Torah. But we need to make it relevant. Lishmoa divrei Hashem, as Rav Vali says. Because the truth is, we are nearing the end of days. We are very, very... We're in the doorstep of Yemos HaMashiach. All the Torah is there. We're so, so close. And that's what makes this Mishnah so exciting. Have a great day.
The second part of your